Namaskar, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Dedekadara, Sri Gaurakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagopida Shama Kunda Radhakuti Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nabadabdhan Ki Jai, Ganga Smanato Sri Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Namakodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Chikara, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapristaya Buddha Shimari Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Vashtatere Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhveti Gadata Arshi Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Canto 8, Chapter 5, Verse 37. Pranat abhut yasya chara charanam pranasaho balam ojas chavayu anvasma samrajam ivanugavayam prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti. Prana, from the vital force, abhut, generated, yasya, of whom, achara acharanam, of all living entities, prana, vital force, saha, basic principle of life, balam, strength, oja, a vital force, cha, and vayu, air, anvasma, follow, samrajam, emperor, eva, like, anuga, followers, vayam, all of us, prasidatam, may be pleased, na, upon us, sa, hi, mahavibhuti, supremely powerful. Oh. Translation, all living entities moving and non-moving receive their vital force, their bodily strength, and their very lives from the air. All of us follow the air for our vital force, exactly as servants follow an emperor. The vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. Text 38. May the supremely powerful personality of God be pleased with us. The different directions are generated from his ears. The holes of the body come from his heart. And the vital force, the senses, the mind, the air within the body, and the ether, which is the shelter of the body, come from his navel. Text 39, Mahendra, the king of heaven, was generated from the prowess of the Lord. The demigods were generated from the mercy of the Lord. Lord Shiva was generated from the anger of the Lord, and Brahma from his sober intelligence. The Vedic mantras were generated from the bodily holes of the Lord, and the great saints and prajapatis were generated from his genitals. May that supremely powerful Lord be pleased with us. Text 40, the goddess of fortune was generated from his chest, the inhabitants of Pitraloka from his shadow, religion from his bosom, and irreligion from his back. The heavenly planets were generated from the top of his head, and apsaras from his sense enjoyment. May that supremely powerful personality of God be pleased with us. Text 41, the brahmanas and Vedic knowledge come from the mouth of the supreme personality of God. The kshatriyas and bodily strength from his arms, the vaishyas from, and their expert knowledge and productivity and wealth come from his thighs, and the sudras who are outside of Vedic knowledge come from his feet. May that supreme personality of Godhead, who is full in prowess, be pleased with us. Oh. Text 42. Greed is generated from his lower lip, affection from his upper lip, bodily luster from his nose, animalistic lusty desires from his sense of touch, yamaraj from his eyebrows, the internal time from his eyelashes. May that supreme Lord be pleased with us. Text 43. All learned men say that the five elements, eternal time, fruit of activities, the three modes of material nature, and the varieties produced by these modes are all creations of yoga maya. This material world is therefore extremely difficult to understand, but those who are highly learned have rejected it. May the Supreme Personality of God, who is the controller of everything, be pleased with us. Purport, the word durvibhavyam is very important in this verse. No one can understand how everything is happening in this material world by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his material energies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sarcharacharam, everything is actually happening under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This much we can learn, but how is it happening is extremely difficult to understand. We cannot even understand how the affairs within our body are systematically taking place. The body is a small universe, and since we cannot understand how things are happening in this small universe, how can we understand the affairs of the bigger universe? Actually, this universe is very difficult to understand, yet learned sages have advised, as Krishna has also advised, that this material world is dukkhalayam asaswatam. In other words, it is a place of misery and temporality. One must give up this world and go back home, back to the personality of Godhead. Materialists may argue, if this material world and its affairs are impossible to understand, how can we reject it? The answer is provided by the word prabuddha apabaram. We have to reject this material world because it is rejected by those who are learned in Vedic wisdom. Even though we cannot understand what this material world is, we should be ready to reject it in accordance with the advice of learned persons, especially the advice of Krishna. Krishna says, Mamu petya punarjama dukkhalayam asaswatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they've attained the highest perfection. One has to return back home, back to Godhead, for this is the highest perfection of life. To go back to Godhead means to reject this material world. Although we cannot understand the function of this material world and whether it is good for us or bad for us, In accordance with the advice of the supreme authority, we must reject it and go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. All living entities, moving and non-moving, receive their vital force, their bodily strength, and their very lives from the air. All of us follow the air for our vital force, exactly as servants follow the emperor. The vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. So we have a whole list of different things which are generated in this material world. It started out previously with the moon and Agni and the sun god. Here we have prana, and then we have things like directions in 30 verse 38, disha or dik, senses, etc., Indra and different devatas coming from this form. Which is basically a material form. It's also considered to be an imaginary form in one sense, because it's not the actual form of the Lord. And so we conceive of the universe as a big person, big purusha, big body. And he has a head and arms and feet, etc. And he has different organs on his body, like a stomach and intestines and heart, etc. He has senses like the eyes and the ears, etc. So the universe is conceived of as a person. Why a person? Because one, of course, is that this is directly to be indicated that above that there's a bigger person, a Supreme Lord, who's spiritual. In other words, the material world is something, molded something after the Supreme Lord. So to get an idea of a person, not just some abstract thing, we have a personal form. And there's an analogy to the body. That is that we have a body, but it doesn't operate unless certain things are in place. It's a particular structure. And as Prabhupada has mentioned here, we don't quite understand how the body works, what to speak of the universe. But there's an analogy between the universe and the body. We can study the little thing, the body, and then we can understand something about the universe. So the body itself, if we look at it, then it's quite complex, and if we start analyzing further and further, it becomes more and more complex, and we cannot really understand it fully. But the Bhagavatam and other scriptures give us a very basic description of how body operates, and consequently how universe operates. The two things kind of correspond. On one level, the gross aspect is we have senses, sense objects, and sense devatas, which we call adibhautic, adiatmak, and adidaivik aspects. Why senses, etc.? Because the whole purpose of creation is so that the jiva can think he's enjoying. So he needs perception of material things to enjoy. So we have a whole structure in the universal form and in the body itself by which we can perceive and get experiences. So we have a sense, and it operates in relation to something it senses, the sense object. How does that take place? We can't quite understand how does the eye receive form, etc. And there's many theories, also speculative theories in Karma Mimamsa. They try to explain how senses grab things, extend themselves and grab information out of the object or whatever. It's somewhat speculative or whatever. In any case, there's a basic idea here that there's a devata involved. So we see that in the material creation we have Mahavishnu glancing, Prakriti is inert, then it becomes activated by the glance of the Supreme Lord through time agitation and injection of jivas.
it becomes mahatattva, which is a very sattvic thing, that gradually starts to deteriorate suddenly and goes into rajagun and then tamagun. When it hits tamagun, ahankara appears. And then from ahankara, it again subdivides into sattva, rajas, tamas. And these are all material products of prakriti. So from sattvagun we get mind and devatas. From ahankara and the mode of passion, which is the, we can say the adhyatmic portion, we get prana, buddhi, and senses, 10 senses, 10 major senses. Knowledge gathering senses like the eye, ear, touch, etc. And active senses, hands, feet, voice, etc. And from ahankara and the mode of ignorance, we get five gross elements and the corresponding sense object, ether and sound, etc. Air and touch, fire and form, water and taste, and earth and smell, fragrance. So corresponding to the elements, we got a sense object, and corresponding to that, we get a sense. And corresponding to the sense, we get a devata. So for each material element, we get a sense object, and the sense object, the element itself is useless unless we get some enjoyment out of it. So the sense object gives us the enjoyment. We can't get the enjoyment unless we have the sense. And we can't connect the two things together unless we get the devata to help us. So we get a devata, a sense, and a sense object connected with the element. And then we can enjoy in the material world, so to speak. Huh? So that's basically, and all these aren't material elements coming out of prakriti. So it is these, that's what's described here, all these different things, part of the universal form, whatever. On the big scale. And that universal form can do nothing unless Supreme Lord enters it. Just as in our body, nothing happens unless Atma is there. And of course, Supreme Lord is behind the Atma. So the Atma leaves the body, nothing can happen. So in other words, these are like the devata, the sense object, the sense are there, but it's all matter, it's all prakriti. So we can't enjoy unless we have the Atma in there. And this, on the bigger scale, none of this operates. The basic elements, the 24 elements don't operate unless Supreme Lord makes it operate. Yeah? So behind the universal form, we have the soul, Supreme Lord. Behind our body here, we got our Atma, the correspondence. Yeah? So, the whole idea behind these descriptions is that matter in itself is useless. It does not operate unless we have Supreme Lord guiding it and doing everything, giving it life, etc. And on a smaller scale, our body is useless also unless we have the Atma behind it. So that combination produces our experience of the material world. One, we can know things, and two, we can experience things. We get happiness, distress, all these sort of things out of it. So this is, and then what happened, why we get that? Because that's what we want. We want to get some experience for ourselves in this material world. So the body with the senses and the sense object and the devata, they help us get that experience. Now it's all maya, of course, because it's all operating under ahankara, false identity. I think I'm the body. And then all this is happening. But behind that is the consciousness of the Atma. Without that, it doesn't really operate. So ahankara by itself also is just another element. So we have that conscious entity behind the whole thing in the body, and then we have the Supreme Lord behind the whole thing in the Virat Purusha or the Vishwarupa. So the whole purpose is to show ultimately that everything is dependent on the Supreme Lord. Nothing happens without the Supreme Lord. And all of our experiences in this material world ultimately we have to trace back to something spiritual. First the Atma, then the Supreme Lord. So therefore, though it may look like the senses and the sense object and the devata can operate independently, they cannot. The Atma must also be there. But then we'll get experience. So all of this is like a machine only. And behind the machine, we need the person, which is the Atma. And behind the big machine, we have Supreme Lord. So therefore, all of this is for that purpose of pointing out that beyond this is Supreme Lord. Now, of course, Prabhupada has pointed out here, well, all of this is kind of useless anyway. So the scriptures just tell us, reject this material world and go to the spiritual world. It's all useless because it's temporary, etc. So then why bother with this whole idea here? So, in one sense, yes, but then we can say, well, then why would we have the whole Bhagavad and why would we just have 10th canto, forget everything else and just have 10th canto also? So we see a lot of Bhagavatam is discussing material world. And so we have all these different topics, sarga, visarga, sthana. That's all to do with material world. How it is created and how it is maintained. And then how it's destroyed. Nirodha, another topic of Bhagavatam. So we get these topics dealing with this material world itself. So they are topics. Why we have those topics in Bhagavatam also? Because in the material world, it is very difficult for us to simply suddenly understand Atma and Supreme Lord. Everybody's thinking in terms of their body. So there has to be some sort of context of our knowledge. So we explain things in terms of what we got here. So therefore we have the universal form, a big body with material elements on it. That's one way of doing it. How is the Supreme Lord in the world? He's a big body. It's a very primitive concept, of course. So this is for unadvanced yogis. And then within that form, we've got this whole idea here of operating, how the senses operate, etc. And then we understand behind that is Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada has pointed out here, well, even this material body, we can't really understand how it works. And of course, one reason is because in the modern world, no matter how much we analyze, it becomes very mysterious because people aren't accepting the Atma, even the Atma, but to speak of the Supreme Lord. So that's the most important part of the body. If we don't accept that, obviously our knowledge of the body isn't going to be quite complete. Something is missing in how the body operates. The same, of course, we can say about theory of evolution. Because, in one sense, okay, maybe right, mutations and gradual forms change according to circumstance. Okay, maybe it's correct or whatever. But even there, it would be easier to explain things if we did have that Atma there also. Then we have more complete knowledge. Then we have a vehicle for explaining things more completely. If we ignore the Atma, very difficult to explain things. And of course, if we ignore the Supreme Lord, also very difficult to explain things. So, Krishna has made the material world very cleverly in such a way that built into Maya is a door for getting out of Maya. And that door for getting out of Maya is Sattva-gun. If we come to Sattva-gun, then we get vidya, or knowledge. Which means that we can perceive the truth, just not completely, but to some degree. So we can understand how the system operates. We can understand there's an Atma behind all of this in the body, and there's a Supreme Lord maybe behind the whole thing. That much we can accept. Through Sattva-gun and scripture. So that is how Krishna has built the material world. Within the material world, if you get to Sattva-gun, then you start you get an introduction at least to accepting spirit behind matter. That much you get. Yeah? To get the complete picture, of course, we have to accept scripture. So anyway, the Lord has made the material world, even though it has got so many minus points. Plus point is that it does allow for some knowledge, some actual knowledge to take place. So, that's the material world. Somehow there's some opportunity within the material world to get out of the material world. So, there's some hope in the material world, even if provisionally we don't accept Supreme Lord. If one can come to Sattva-gun, then our perception will begin to change. Then we'll begin to accept, there must be something beyond this matter here. And then we get up to the level, at least Atma, meaning accept something spiritual. So that is the beginning of spiritual life, so to speak. So this is one of the methods in which the Supreme Lord provides opportunity for the jivas in the material world. He doesn't leave them here with no hope. He gives them this particular system. So that's one level. The other level, to accept the Supreme Lord, etc., is very difficult to understand, even by Sattva-gun. It requires scripture. Fortunately, in Sattva-gun itself, people begin to accept scripture as well. So this is a good method by which they can get further knowledge. That is, they can understand Supreme Lord. Without that, they can get as far as Atma. Yeah. With the scripture, then they can understand about the Supreme Lord. So this is another opportunity the Supreme Lord gives for, within the material world, for getting out of the material world. The devatas are a part of the system. Now they have material bodies which operate in relation to the thing, and of course they're also got jivas within those material bodies. So though the devatas are created as part of the material elements, 24 material elements, so to speak, plus the devatas there. The bodies are there, but then they have jivas inside the bodies also, so they're not completely material. They are empowered by the Supreme Lord to make our bodies operate in this material world and to make the whole universe operate. So, the devatas also can operate in two ways. They can put us into ignorance, or they also help us get knowledge. Therefore the scriptures prescribe methods of worship of devatas by which one can come to Sattva-gun. So we get knowledge through the devatas also, some knowledge. So it's described in Bhagavad Gita. What is the worship of a person in Sattva-gun? He worships devatas. But then we think that people in ignorance worship devatas. No, people in ignorance, they worship bhutas, ghosts, and things like that. People in the mode of passion worship rakshasas. People in the mode of goodness worship devatas. But then we see, you know, karmakanda, people worshiping to go to Svargaloka. What does that mean? That seems to be rajasic, yeah? No. If they go to Svargaloka, it must be sattva, because Svargaloka is sattva. So there has to be some sattva there. So actual worship of devatas means they follow scripture properly. And in following scripture properly, they should ultimately give up desire for material benefits. So it should be nishkama karma yoga. That's the proper way to worship devatas. So by doing so, they get very firmly situated in Sattva-gun, and then they can get some higher knowledge. That is possible. So, in this way, by worship of devatas in a very bona fide scriptural way, the devatas will help the jivas fix themselves in sattva guna so they can get some spiritual perception. So, in this way, the devatas have a good aspect. They're not only there to keep us in maya, they're also there to help us get some preliminary spiritual knowledge. But we do know, ultimately, that the advice of Bhagavatam is don't worship the devatas, worship the Supreme Lord. By worship of the Supreme Lord, with devotion and no material desires, we get a much higher result. That is, we can realize Supreme Lord. So by worshiping this devatas, we get up to sattva guna and we can maybe realize Atma, etc. But worship Supreme Lord, and then we get knowledge of Supreme Lord. This solves our problems permanently, whereas this worship does not. So, therefore, though we have these whole system of the devatas here, it's some arrangement for progress in the material world. The easiest way is directly worship the Supreme Lord. And this directly connects us out of the, gets us out of the material world. It's a higher, more effective process. So though we do have this devatas operating in the material world, we also have beyond the material world, Supreme Lord. So the recommended process ultimately is direct process, not the indirect process. Not people. Okay. Supreme Lord is the permitter of everything. The devatas are fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and they act according to karma to give you results. And so they institute the law of karma in terms of your material body. No, it does not operate by itself. That's why we have devatas, senses, sense objects, matter. They operate together. Matter does not operate. For the human being, matter does not operate independently. It operates according to the law of karma. If it's just a mountain falling down, okay, there's no karma for the mountain. This just falls or whatever according to the laws of gravity or whatever. Or according to the yuga cycles. Gradually the mountain disappears over many yugas or whatever. That's no karma involved in that. But for the human being, there's a law of karma operating in relation to matter. If he gets accidents, if he dies early, all this is karma. So his body is operating in relation to karma. So who does the karma? Devatas. Yeah, that's not a true statement. That's directly, obviously, if everything's done by karma, what's the use of the Supreme Lord? Nothing. So later on we see five factors in action. Including Supreme Lord and Jiva, and karma, and body, and pranas. So it's not just prakriti operating. And here, senses, sense objects, devatas, and Supreme Lord, not just matter. It doesn't operate without the Supreme Lord's presence. So prakriti does not operate on its own. It's the whole purpose of Bhagavad to show that ultimately, without the glance of the Supreme Lord, no manifestation of anything. It's his will. The glance means his will. Well, everything about the Supreme Lord is spiritual. He has his purpose. The Lord says, okay, let there be a creation of the material world so the jivas can get out of the material world, therefore it's spiritual. His purpose is spiritual. Yeah. One aspect of maya, ignorance. But then the other aspect is vidya. That's also part of maya. So if you get a sattvagun, then you get your vidya. Then you can get out also. So that's why maya is not all bad. Material world is not completely bad. So the provision is vidya within maya. Vidya and avidya, both aspects are there. And then Supreme Lord himself comes as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshirajakshaya Vishnu's avatars, etc. Devotees, scriptures, bhakti, etc. So, plenty of opportunity for the jivas in the material world to get out of the material world.
We will all share. I will cut it and give you.